He's going to Israel next week. Many of you remember Victor Stursky from Christians United for Israel. I think you should have something in your bulletin today about when the next night to honor Israel will be in Rochester in March. And he called me one day, I don't know, maybe November. Maybe it was September, October even. He said,
September.
He says, is any of the preacher's boys, do they want to go to Israel? And I thought, yeah, they all want to go. And I'll never forget, I put it out to all three of them. And Ryan and Garrett both said, we think Ben should be the one to go. So they pay this. They pay, except for $500, they pay his trip to go. And he's going for 9 days? Mm-hmm. 9 days. And so, you know, when Ryan was saying all that, he had sent me a text. This morning we have a very great friend of mine, our family, Patty and I. Many, I think some people here know her, Anita McLeod. I'd asked a friend of mine a couple years ago. I said, I want to know who the greatest counselor that you've ever met is. This woman used to lead a group, a counseling organization called Agape in Rochester. She was the oversight for that. And she said, the greatest counselor that I've ever known or met is Anita McLeod. She said, if we weren't friends, I would be going to her on a regular basis. And I said, that's all I need to hear. And I reached out to her, met her, I've had my pastor meet her, I've had her at our pastor's gathering. She's helped other pastors and people that I love. And in the middle of that this morning, I got a text from my son, and he said, Dad, I can share as well. So I think with everything.
Yeah. So the two hardest times that I've been through in my life have come up this morning when I literally couldn't walk to a hospital room and I didn't know if I'd be able to walk again. And a challenging time that my wife and I went through in our marriage. And I shared this with my dad. I sent him a text that said, I would be willing to share, not because he didn't do a good enough job, but because we really had a hard time in our marriage. And you know, when you're growing up and you're the pastor's kids, you're not supposed to go through anything. And we went through stuff. And I shared with my dad that we were going through a hard time. I mean, both of us were just struggling with some different things. And he says, I want you to go to Anita. Would you be willing to go? And I said, absolutely. I want help. I want to stay married, and I want to work things out, and we need help. I'm the pastor's son, and he's supposed to be able to take care of everything. But we just were in a bad spot. And Anita, we called Anita, and we got together with her, and we were very transparent with our kids and saying, Mom and Dad need some help. And I think when we did that, we went and we got help, and we went home and we talked to our kids, and we were like, hey, Mom and Dad, we're going to do better, and we're going to try harder. And we made it a family thing instead of just keeping it all to ourselves. So this was a couple of years ago, and Anita helped us so much, and we're not ashamed of it. And I said to my dad, I want to help other people, and I really want to encourage anybody that needs help. It's nothing to be embarrassed about, and at the time, of course, you feel embarrassed and shame and, you know, all that stuff. But looking back at it, it was really some of the best times in our marriage. We were very honest with each other. Anita helped us walk through that. And it was really encouraging. So I told my dad I wanted to share that. So the two most difficult times in my life have come up today. And I said to my wife yesterday, I said, I'm going to lay low at church tomorrow. I've just been tired and I had a long week. That didn't happen today.
Nobody can be my brother.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's awesome.
But Anita helped us so much, and she was so kind and gentle about, you know, some of the ways she spoke to us. And most of you know me or my family, and we're not weak people. And she was so perfect for what we needed. And I appreciate everything you did for us, Anita, for sure. And I'm sure my family does as well.
Why don't you invite her up here and introduce her?
Anita, come on up. This is Anita, if you would give her a hand.
She,
Well, you know what? Sometimes you never know if you help people. So thank you so much for saying that. And it's such an honor for me to be able to counsel people. God has had some tough circumstances happen in my life and has given me a lot of really good opportunities to use that, and also with a lot of clinical experience over the years. So it's such a privilege for me to be a counselor. And I just want to tell you guys that, you know what, marriage is really hard. I mean, I'm married. It's hard sometimes. And I think sometimes people come and they're so embarrassed because they're Christians and they think that they should just have a perfect marriage. And it is really hard. So I just want to encourage you. I'm going to come out on Thursday night and I'm going to answer some questions. And please be honest, because I would love to just answer some questions for you and help you out. And thanks a lot for Marty inviting me to come and do that.
Awesome. Wow, that's just awesome right there. So Anita, I asked her to come this morning just so you could get a look at her. She's not wearing a club, or she doesn't have an electric prodder under her sweater to beat you up. And I love what Ben said. She was so gentle and so kind, and she is. That's what struck me about her. And, I came from a background years ago that if you said you needed a counseling, that you were weak. And that was wrong counsel. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, when you say, I need help, you are strong. Is that working? I said, the opposite is true. When you are weak and you say you need help, then you are strong. And don't wait until the house is burning down to say, you got to come right now. Don't wait until the house is burning down and say, you have to come right now. If you smell smoke, there's fire. And I love what you said, Ben. We wanted to stay married. I'm so proud of you. And preacher's kids aren't perfect. But I'm proud of them. And you're doing good, boys. I'm very proud of you. Thank God for them. So Thursday night. So if you have a question for Anita, write it on a paper. There's a box in the back there. I know in the announcements it says give it to an usher, but if you just want to be anonymous about it, just put it in that box. It'll be on the table. She'll be in the foyer after the service. She's going to go up there after I get done, and she can't give you everything you need in 3 minutes. And, one of the things I said to her when I first met her, and I so appreciate this about you, because I've known people that have gone to a counselor for 20 years and are still dealing with the same thing. Now, if I had a car that was broken and I took it to somebody to have it fixed, and I had to keep on taking it back every 3 or 4 or 6 months to get it fixed, guess what I'd do? I wouldn't get rid of the car. I'd find it somebody that knew how to fix it. And I said to her, I said, I'm not going to send you people for you to make a career out of this. Let's get the job done. Let's get them on their way. And she is a gift. I am not a counselor. I can help you. I mean, I'll tell you, if you do 1 through 5, this is going to help you. And if you do it, it will help you. If you don't, you're just dumb. See, when you get done talking to her, you're going to love her. You're going to get done. You're going to pay her. You're going to love her. You get done with me, you don't give me a dime, and you hate me when you leave. So far better for you to go that route. And that's what she's called to do. But, I mean, there's a lot of people here. We talk to you. We help you. But sometimes God anoints an individual with a gift. She has that gift. And let's utilize it. She's going to be here Thursday night as well.
I forgot one thing. I was nervous because she knew my dad. And I said to Anita, you know, we're going to share. We're going to really dump out some stuff. And she, I trust her. She was 100% confidential. And she still, that's I important. Believe if she was waterboarded, she would never tell my dad a thing. So
that's important.
I thought that was important to share. I was sitting there and I said, you know what? I trust her. We told her a lot of stuff. And not one thing has ever been repeated. And I trust her. She still knows a lot of stuff. So, Anita, all right.
That's good. My son is part-time comedian as well. Come on. Give Benjamin another big God bless you, would you? And Anita, thank you so much. Let's give to the Lord this morning. I wanted to give you just a little. These guys made a new slide up there. It's pretty cool. So you can give through the PushPay. You can download the PushPay app. You can go to the website, the City Church. You can text to give. I don't see the text number up there, though. That is it up there? Wow. Can you make that out? You can make that out. Kenny Jenks, what's that text number say from back there? Can you see that? Shut up. You can text. Ask Ken what the text number is, because I can't see it. You can give multiple ways. I wanted to just take just a moment today. I wanted to give you a little update on St. Anthony's. I want to tell you something that campus was never built or never bought for any other purpose than to one more expression to show God's love to every man, woman, boy, and girl in this community. That's the only reason. We don't need anything more to do. And we do work on it. We are this Sunday, I sent out a text, I think it's the 10th Sunday now that we've had a noon service there. Some people have gotten saved. Some former Catholic people, and I'm not denigrating any Catholics. I'm not saying nothing against the Catholic Church. But for some, never knew the gospel or never knew that Jesus really was the way to eternal life and have come in and have just been overjoyed with that. I want to say thank you to each one of you who have participated in giving to make that a reality. And I also want to tell you something. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to die here. Maybe not right here, but I'm not going anywhere. I read something the other day where they said this person, all they do is go from city to city. We're going to be celebrating 20 years here not too long. This is home for me. But my heart is to continually build the kingdom for another generation. I'm so excited. Erin Martin is moving her Divine Dance Studio. It's going to be over in the former school. It's going to take a couple rooms over there. So incredible. You'll hear and see more about that. Our own little Nicole Brill, Little Flowers, she's been here. I still look at her as that little girl that came in here. She has an art studio that she's had upstairs, does some things. She's opening that up, Liberty Arts over there. It'll be a part. These just aren't things to create revenue. These are outreaches to touch people's lives for the kingdom of God, for the work of the Lord, to transform a life that was going nowhere into a life that is moving in a godly direction. That's what it's all about. And each one of you, you're a participant in that. And I know, you know, there's different people that are here today. There's some people, you might be here, and maybe this is your first time or second time. You're just looking around. I love you. I'm so glad that you're here. There's some that are here. You've been here for some time. You come in and sit down. You enjoy. And you get up and leave. And you don't participate in this part of worship because you figure, well, I pray and I'm nice to people here and there. But then there's the people that are here that they really believe in what God has called them to. Not just the church, but called them to. And you participate in this part of the service, in your worship, by giving. And we're sitting in seats that somebody else paid for. We're hearing a sound system somebody else paid for. But the reality of it is that God wants every one of us to participate in this part of the service, to enlarge the kingdom of God for the work of the Lord. And it doesn't stop just with us. When I'm gone, if I do my job right, and I think I'm working in that in a great way, there's going to be so many people that you're just going to, I'm going to be here 1 week, the next week I'm going to be in glory, and we won't miss a beat. We won't miss a beat because there's young people. Man, I see young Ben Wagner, he's over here. He's going to push everybody off the keyboard. They're going to be rocking this place. Brad, preaching on Thursday night, I heard he just, no, he did it. And so many others. We do what we do to influence families, lives. We help those people. I love that story. Nobody can beat my brother. I want to stand up. I got word when I was coming home this week that a young man that has come to the church for some time, Kaz Rodriguez, went home to be with the Lord. You know what I felt? I know he's with the Lord. I know the family. P, are you here? Are you here? Is she here? No. You know what I felt? I felt I didn't know him good enough. And I want to know you. I want to know every one of you. I can't take you home with me. I can't do a lot of things, but I want to get to know you, and I'll do anything I can do to that to happen, because I want to be there when you're feeling down and you're feeling low. I want to tell you, nobody can beat you. You can do this. You're going to make it. And I've learned in my life, if I have one person just say to me, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. That's why we do what we do every single day. When you give today, you help make that happen. And God blesses your life when you do that. Listen to this scripture. I read it in the first service. Proverbs 11:24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. You will never live in a bigger world if you stay stingy. But if you become a giver, and you may be here today and say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. I'm not saying that. I don't care if you give or not. But what I do care is your life takes on a dimension that you never thought possible. God, when you step into that place, I don't care how much education you have or you don't have. It doesn't matter what kind of parent you had or didn't have. When you step into that place, that covenant promise, God comes alongside of you. He does things in and through you you never, ever thought were possible. I would never think the little boy from South Byron would be standing right up here today. And my son would be over there playing drums, going to Israel. That my other son would be over here taking over the service, having altar calls in the middle of worship. Who's he think he is? That my other son would be on a plane this morning on his way to Charlotte, North Carolina to negotiate with cities for multi-million dollar deals that he's working with. My world, because I have given, has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. Little Brad down here preaching up at the storm in here on Thursday. I remember when he first came in, little broken tooth, emaciated little guy, smelling like smoke, pot, beer, whiskey, everything else. And I think he told me he smoked a joint before he came. Now look at him, strong, strapping, preaching. The word of God is in him. He's raising his family up. Come on, that's because we get bigger when we give. Ushers, come on down. Father, I want to say thank you today for the opportunity to participate in the kingdom of our God. I pray, Lord, today that as we give, oh God, that our world will get bigger and bigger. That we'll step out of a small life, a small space, and God, you'll take us. You'll cause us to be more effective. You'll cause us to experience who you are in a greater dimension. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. God bless you as you give today. So the Valentine's Challenge, hashtag Valentine's Challenge 17, has taken on a pretty significant life. Our own Chuck and Linda Wood. Chuck has taken his wife on a cruise this week. Jerk. I'm just joking. And Todd and Cheryl Crossity put all these videos on Facebook. He packed her suitcase. I mean, he was pretty creative. I was impressed. Packed her suitcase, loaded her up in a car, didn't tell her where they were going. Didn't know how long it was going to. Took her to Boston for the weekend, taking her out to dinner, and he's doing all these little videos, you know. They're all smiling, loving up on there. I'm like, okay. They brought it. So, guys, come on, we got to go up to another level. We did some research, and I got some great research for you husbands. There's a lot of things you can get your wife. I want to give you seven things never to get your wife, okay, for Valentine's Day. Number one is a vacuum cleaner. Number two is cookbooks with your favorite recipes highlighted. Number three, crock pot. I like this one. It had this little handle. New pots and pans, because if you do this, you deserve the beating you might get over the head with those very pots and pans. A gym membership. Ooh, yeah. A heart mug. And the worst thing that you could get your wife is nothing. Even if she said, you agreed, we're not going to do anything. She was lying. And I give you permission, if you lied to her, get her something. doesn't, I mean, you got to come through with something, guys. Come on now. Well, I think it's this is an important moment. Every year, we look at things in a different light. I just really felt this year we needed to throw that challenge down. It's looking, you know, like the CrossFits in the woods are in a pretty good competition. But you still have time. You still have time. You could. I told my wife, I said, honey, what would you say if I picked you up from work, took you to the airport, got on a plane, we went to New York City, I got an Uber ride over the famous Del Frisco's restaurant on Fifth Avenue, had a beautiful meal, had them sing at our table. What would you think of that? She looked at me, she said, I think you're crazy. Not all of you thought that, though, did you? Now, some of you are thinking. And I just love how these great acts are inspiring some people to go higher and further. And let me say this for all the single ladies and the single guys. Don't be feeling bad this week if you don't have a date. And don't you go out and just connect up or hook up with somebody just because you don't want to be alone. Take this week. Look at these men and these women that are going up and above and over and beyond and say to yourself and say to the Lord, that's what I want in my spouse. That's who I want to marry. I want to marry somebody that's going to think that way. Don't you lower yourself down just to get a date or to go out and get a free meal at Denny's. Don't you do that. You raise your expectations up and believe God that he's going to do exceeding and abundantly above anything you can ask or think. Come on, everybody said a great amen. And I just saw a message that's David Dancer's birthday today. David, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. I heard you're 33 today. God bless you. Father, I thank you for just the next few moments that you will be honored in everything that continually is said and done here for your glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. I want to read you a scripture, a couple today. I want to read one. If you have your Bible, I'm going to end up in 1 Corinthians 13. So you can go there. I'm going to just give you a few. I'm only going to be a few minutes. But I want to read this scripture out of Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. And I want to read it out of the Message translation because it just elaborates on this thought so much more. He goes on here. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want to talk to you about love reset. You know, we got electronic stuff, iPad, iPhone, you know, all kinds of stuff. If this doesn't work and you call somebody and say, turn it off, turn it back on, reset, hit the reset button, and it'll work again for you. And so that's what I want to do for you today is for you to hit the love reset button. Here's Romans 12, 1 and 2 in the Message. He says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. I love this. He said, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Everything that you and I do, give it to God. Lord, here's my life. here's who I am. I give it to you as an offering. Now, use it for your glory. He says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And isn't that sometimes how we get just pulled into certain things? We don't even think about it. We don't even pray or contemplate. What would God think? Is this God's way of doing it? He goes on to say, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed. I love this, from the inside out. You begin to recognize what he wants from you, and you respond to it, and you hear what God is saying. And sometimes we need to hit that reset button in our life pertaining to relationships in our lives. And maybe it's not just with a husband and wife. Maybe it's in a home. Maybe it's with parents. Maybe it's with children. We need to hit the reset button because of the experiences that we've had. And we need to move past the feeling of rejection that continually influences who we are and what we are becoming in life, leading to insecurity in our lives and never rising above that. And if we don't experience a reset in our life pertaining to these things, We go over it again and again and again, and we never become who God wants us to be. This is for somebody today. You wonder why you keep on going around the mountain over and over. Maybe it's in the area of relationships. Maybe nothing seems to work out, but you're basing those relationships off of something that happened to you in the past, and you're never moving into the dimension, into the destiny, into the life that God has called you to live. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe a husband left you. Maybe a wife left you. Maybe you were hurt by a pastor. Maybe your mom or your dad or a teacher has hurt you. And you allow that to have such dominance in your life that you don't see beyond that. And you've never let God reset that, your heart inside of you, so that you can move beyond that and get past that. And you allow the rejection that has happened in your life along with the disappointments, and you've allowed it to say, I can handle this. I'm going to do it on my own. And nothing could be further from the truth. You can't do it on your own. We need God's help in these areas of our lives. And we need people in our lives. We need somebody at the ring shouting, "Nobody can beat my brother." It reminded me of a story this morning. I was trying to think of it all. And a man that I knew years ago, he's gone now. But I remember him telling the story that he went to a particular hospital where people were suffering with leukemia and cancer and skin diseases. And he went in and he met a man in there, and the man saw him coming. He was a minister of the gospel, and he began to go and pray for him. This man was all covered up. He was wrapped up because his body was so bleeding and so full of sores and so hurting that he had to stay covered up and wrapped up all the time. When the pastor went to him and he prayed for him, he looked at the man in his eyes. He says, "Is there anything I could do for you?" And the man looked back at him and he says, "I haven't touched another person's skin in almost 9 months." And he said, with that, he said, "I began to undo the gauze from his hands and from his arms. And he was bleeding. He was scabby. He said, I put my arms, I touched him. I wanted to feel him. And when I did that, the man began to weep and break down because he just needed to touch somebody. And sometimes we need somebody to touch our lives. We need that help in our lives. We need somebody to say, nobody can beat my brother." In John 3:16, one of the most beautiful scriptures in the Bible, God, he so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, have eternal life. And this is the love that God has given to us. And he is love. He's the originator of love. He not only is love, but he gave that love to you and I. And I looked at this morning. Some of the Greeks, they defined love in just a few ways. One of them is eros. It means, what can I get from you? That's the only kind of love that I know. If I can get something from you, if I can get a relationship with you, if I can just have one night, I'll fulfill everything I need. That's the eros love. That's not God kind of love. And then there's the Greek word phileo. It's a friendship. I'm going to give you something, but I'm expecting something in return. I did this for you, and now you got to do that for me. And husbands and wives, let me tell you, if you're going to go the distance, you'll never have the distance in your life, in your home, in your marriage, if the only time you do something for your spouse is you're thinking you're going to get something in return. I should hear a better amen than that. But then the God kind of love is the agape love, where it says, I give to you, it's unconditional, I give to you, and I'm not expecting anything in return. I don't want nothing. I just want to bless you. I want to show you love. And you can do that in a myriad of ways. But we have to know that God's love is unconditional. He doesn't put a condition on it. He's unrelenting. He's unfailing. He comes to heal the wounded and bind up the brokenhearted, no matter who you are. His love is sacrificial. He gave his son that cost him everything. It wasn't just an emotional moment, but he gave. And when we receive this kind of love, we can understand that we not only receive it, but now he calls us to share it as well. His love is personable. It's not just an idea or a notion. He came to give us personally his love to us. His love is acceptable. You can accept it. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been. God's love is there for you and I. All we have to do is accept him in our lives. And His love is also accessible. It's not just for a few. It's not just for the spiritual or for the elitist. It's for everyone. And when we trust him with our lives and with our destiny, we have complete access to what he has promised to give to us. And John the Apostle tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, he said, this is how God showed his love among us. Watch this. Listen to this now. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we may live through him. That sounds just like John 3:16. And this is love. Look at, read this. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Woo! That's so powerful. This is what love is. Not that we loved him, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Wow! He loved us not when we had it all together. He loved us when we had it all apart. He loved us on our worst day. He loved us when we were tore up from the floor up. He loved you and I. This is God's love. And then he goes on to say, dear friends, since God so loved us, look at this, we ought to love one another. And then he dispels this fact. People on television say, and God walked in my room and I saw him. And I looked at him. No, you didn't. You lying. Because here the Bible says, no one has ever seen God. Look at this, though. But if we love one another, God lives in us. And his love is made complete in us. You want to see God? Then you love the unlovable, or you let somebody love you. And then you see the very face of God. Woo! Man, I'm just preaching myself up in here happy. And so we know and rely, verse 16, on the love God has for us. We love because he first loved us. Verse 19 says again, we love because he first loves us. That's why we love. That's why I can look people in the eye. That's why I can say I love you, because he loved me. I put things on Facebook and I'll tell people, and I love you, and people will send me an instant message. They say, I know you didn't mean that for me. You were talking about somebody else. No, I meant it for you, Bubba. I love you. And it doesn't matter how dark and how dirty and how far you've gone. If God loved me in my worst state and he's imparted that love to me, then I can give that love away to you. Woo! And when you do that, you are acting as an ambassador for God. And the secret of love is being loved by God. And the first step in loving others is not going towards them, but it's going towards God. I can't love people unless I love him first and receive his love. I can't love my wife unless my relationship is great with God. You can't either. And we're looking at people that are so hard to love. Yes. Yes, they are. People are tough, difficult people. They can be in your family. You know, we just, you know, had Super Bowl, and I'm sure people had, you had family and friends over, and by the end of the day, you were wondering, man, I bet you somebody said, I'm sure glad that they're gone. Just look straight ahead. Nobody will think you're talking about them right now. But difficult people, they're hard to deal with sometimes, whether it's family, outside the family, because sometimes we move towards them and we fall again. But if we move towards God, he helps us through a lens that makes it clear to us as how we are to love them, loving them. And I can't start seeing and loving them until I love him. And I ask you to turn to this first, 1 Corinthians 13. You know this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't boast. Love isn't proud. And you know, one of the first things you learn is becoming a student of the word and somebody's teaching you. You take that love out of there and you put your name in there. Marty is patient. Oh, working on it. Marty is kind. I'm trying. Marty does not envy. No. Well, I'm good at some and not as good as the other. Marty does not boast. Marty is not proud. Doesn't dishonor others. Marty is not self-seeking. Marty is not easily angered. And then he's got to shoot this one in there. Marty keeps no records of wrongs. Could you have just left that out? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. Love never, everybody say that. Say, love never fails. Say it again. Say, love never fails. Mine will get low. My love will get irritated. My love, my reservoir will get low. But his love never will. Patty and I were talking. I said this in the first service. This is so funny. Last night, we were just in the kitchen. She was making a big pot of her detox soup. I love it. Veggies and everything. And just out there talking to her. And we're talking about a couple experiences that we had in the week. And her and I, you know, even though this coming December, her and I will be married 40 years. Can you believe that? I mean, it's... She was 7, I was 11. She is so funny. You know, if I get irritated. If I'm driving down the thruway and somebody's in that left-hand lane and I'm trying to get in, they're sitting there. Boy, I just want to... I wish I could send them a message right then. Not her. If she's driving, she'll slow up and let them go on. So I don't care. But here's my wife. You get in line somewhere, you coffee or somewhere, and somebody's trying to get in front of her, my wife would be like, excuse me, the line is there. And she always does, well, if you see her hand go up like this, you're going to get it. I just stand back. I'm like, I want to tell the people, you have no idea what's coming right now. Oh, it's funny how we perceive and how we do things. And I don't know why she's like that one way. And see, me, I don't care. If I'm in line, somebody, they butt in front of me, I buy their coffee or buy whatever. I just bless them, yeah? But if you get in, you mess around with me, you're driving, I'm just going to, I don't know why, I come at you. I got Italian in me or something. I charge at you. What you doing here, man? You know, I don't know what it is. But love never fails. And I need to work on those areas in my life. How do I do that? I'm just going to close with these three thoughts. Number one, if you're going to show some uncommon love, if you're going to have a reset in your life, number one, you got to learn to say it. You got to learn to say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Not because you want something, but you want to give that love. You want to show love. Say it to your family. Say it to your friends. The enemy hates it because the absence of these words will create pain. But when you say, I love you, you know, when Ben, big, strong strap, and I put my hands on his shoulders, it's like putting him on a tree stump. He was a championship wrestler. I told you this last week. After he'd get done wrestling, he'd pin somebody. I'd walk right out on the middle of the gym floor. I'd hug him and give him a kiss. I love you. I'm proud of you. Ben, I didn't even tell you this. I was at Notre Dame last week when you guys were gone. Maybe it's 2 weeks now. Gabe was playing basketball. And I was on one side, and we were jammed in there like sardines, and I went and got somebody. I wanted to go. There wasn't nobody behind where the team was sitting. I said, can you get me over there? He said, sure. They took me down through the basement and around. I thought, I didn't know if they were taping me down there and lunging me or something, but I made it up there. Gabe got done. He did great. And I walked down, and Gabe looked at me, and I looked at him. I thought, there's Benny. 20 years ago, I put my arm around. He put his arms around me. I kissed him. I said, good job, honey. He said, thank you, Bobby. Say it. Say I love you. Don't hold it back. Say, call somebody today. Let them know, hey, I love you. Write it. A card. A letter. Text. I know some of you just can't get those words out of your mouth. Maybe your dad said when you were little, don't say that. Only girls say that. Men, you want to be a man? You want to man up? Man up and look somebody in the eye and say, I love you. I'm proud of you. I love you. I love you. Send them a heart emoji. Don't be scared. Just do it. Do whatever you got to do. Make it happen. Send them a lot. I never used to be an emoji guy. Now I am. I'll blow you up with emoji. Give it. Not just big gifts, small ones. I have all kinds. If you come up in my office, you'll see. And all those cards that the kids give me from big kids, I got them stacked. I keep them. I got little scratch and hand chicken nonsense that my grandkids are going to. I got them all over my walls. I got coffee cups that people have brought me from all over the world. And you know what that says when you give somebody something? It means that you stopped in the middle of your busy day. You thought of them enough to get them something and bring it to them. I don't know whether it's... Benny Martin just sent me a heart emoji. Maybe it's coffee. Maybe it's a strawberry covered in chocolate this week. Come on, ladies, say amen to me. Help me out here. Help a brother out up in here. You stop in your middle of your week and you give it. And you show that you love. You, that's a reset. And some of you, you're okay at that, but you're like, that's just not me. Can I help you? I mean, 40 years of marriage, ups and downs. I wish I had Anita to help me when my wife was mad at me. Woo, it's getting hot up in here. Help me out, Rufus. Help me. Get me out of this right now. Get good at it. Get good at it. When you say it, I'm not good at it. You get good at it. And then you got to learn to forgive it. You got to learn to forgive. You are never more like Jesus than when you forgive someone. I don't care what's happened. Let it go. Move on. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. My first step towards forgiving someone else is going to him and receiving the forgiveness that he has given to me. And then you got to live it. And you got to plan this week. Oh, I know I'm going to get tested on this. And if you'll embrace this, you will too. And it won't hurt you. It'll be great for you. Live loving, even the difficult, the challenge. This week, honey, somebody's going to butt in front of you in line. I know it's going to happen. I'm going to be going to Buffalo or Rochester. I'm going to be on the throughway. There's going to be 12 cars in the left-hand lane. They're not going to let me go. And I'm going to be praising the Lord all the way by faith. I want to just close with these three quick little stories about some of the greatest love that I'd ever helped me reset. And I thought about that this week. I never forgot it. One of them was a few years ago, I went to Macy's to buy Patty. It was a Christmas present. It was probably Christmas Eve. And there was an elderly lady that was checking me out. She had beautiful wedding bands on her finger. She said, "Is this for your wife?" I said, "Yeah." "So it's so beautiful. She's going to love it." "Yeah." She didn't, but anyways, that's beside. That's for another message. And I said, "You and your husband, you planning on having a great Christmas?" "Oh," she says, "my husband's been gone now a few years." "Oh, really?" And I should have stopped looking at her wedding rings. I said, "Did you remarry?" She goes, "Oh, no." She said, "That man showed me so much love, so much great love in my life that no one could ever fulfill those shoes." I thought, man, I went home. I'm thinking, oh, I need help. About 2 years ago, a friend of mine lives in another state, called me up. I knew he'd gone through a terrible, hard divorce. Found out over 20-plus years of marriage that his wife had been unfaithful several times to him. She finally ended up leaving him, moved in with another man that lived right around the corner. She got violently ill and had to go to the hospital. And because my friend was still married to her, they called him because he was legally married still. They hadn't gone through the divorce. And the man that she was living with, standing in the room with the doctor, with his wife who'd left him, and here he is. And the doctor looked at both of the men and said, "She's never going to be the same when she leaves here. She's going to need constant help." He looked at the man that she was living with. He said, "Are you willing to do this?" And the man looked at the doctor. He said, "No, I'm not." He looked back at my friend and said, "What do you want to do?" He said, "Just a few minutes." He left that room. He got his phone. He called me. He said, "Marty, I'm here." He told me the same story that I'm just telling you. And I'm leaving out a lot of parts, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. He said, I don't know if this is right, but he says, I want to take her home. He says, I've forgiven her a long time ago, and I love her. I broke down weeping, and I said to him, I don't know what's right to tell you right now, but one thing I do want to tell you, you just showed me love like no one has ever showed me in my life. And then the last story about love that I was reminded of today. My mom, I was 17 years old. She was in the hospital dying of cancer. She had days to live. 58 years old. Her stomach, she was probably at the time weighed maybe 80 pounds. She had a tumor in her stomach. She looked like she had a 12-pound baby in her. She was out. We were just waiting for her to die. I was sleeping on the floor in the hospital. I got up one morning and she opened up her eyes. She looked right at me. She says, Martin, who's getting you your dinner? Mom, what are you caring about my dinner? And with that, she closed her eyes, and it was only a few hours later she was gone. That was a love that I will never forget in my life. Shakespeare said this, I love this quote, better 3 hours too soon than a minute too late. Who can you tell today that you love? Who can you show love to? I'm not talking about eros, phileo. I'm talking about true agape love, where you love somebody and you don't expect anything in return. Will you close your eyes with me today? I believe, God, this whole service today is about just restructuring and helping you, motivating you into a higher level of your relationship with Jesus and the people that are around you, the ones that you love. Maybe you're here today, you just need to forgive somebody. Maybe the person's here, I don't know. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's somebody that's hurt you in the past. It's not even around in your life anymore. And you're carrying that with you, and it's keeping you from the plan that God has for you and where he wants to take you and what he wants to do with you. I want to pray for you today. I want your eyes closed, your heads bowed. We're going to be done here in about 90 seconds. If you've never given your life to Jesus, today you need to make that decision. Today you need to ask him to come into your heart and your life. Maybe you're here today and you've been away from him for a while. You know you need to make things right. You work some things out. I want the prayer people to come down to the front, if you would, now. I'm going to close in prayer. If you have never given your life to Christ, you need to do that before you leave. If you just need to get prayer, you need God to help you with forgiving somebody or helping you through something, you need to come down today. You're just going through a challenge in your life. Maybe it's even unrelated to anything I spoke of, but you know God is here and you want to reach out to his love and his help today. I want you to come. When I pray, you just get out of your seat. I'm going to close in prayer. You come down. These folks will pray for you. While your heads are bowed, your eyes closed. Anita, Ben, and Amanda, will you go to the back and just, Ben and Amanda, I want you just to greet and bless people as they leave today. Father, I thank you today for the grace of God, the kindness and the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts today. May you be glorified. May you be honored. May you be lifted up today in everything and all that we do. I pray blessing over your people today. I pray for that man today that is here that is struggling because he's never had a father in his life. Pray for that woman today that is here that is just laboring over losses in her life. I pray that you will help. I pray for children today that are confused and just don't understand the way they feel like they do. I pray that you will help them today. God, use each and every one for your glory that is here, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you. If you need prayer, you come on down. These folks be here to pray for you, bless your life, and to help you, lift you up out of whatever it is you're going through. Go in his grace today. Write those questions down if you need to.